Reading today is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Paul's vision and his thorn. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to share from your word this morning. And Father, I just pray that you'll open ears to hear and eyes to see your glory. Lord, also open our minds that we'll think through things that are said, and Lord, that we'll retain those things that you want us to retain. And anything that I say that is not of you, Lord, will not stand in the memory. Pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Charlie Boswell was blinded during the World War II, but he didn't allow his blindness to stop him from playing sports. In fact, he went on to become the 13 times USA blind golf champion. And in 1958, Charlie was presented with the Ben Hogan Award. Now, Hogan, of course, was one of the greatest golfers of all times, the Tiger Woods of the day. And when the two men met, Charlie said how he would dearly love to play a round of golf with Ben. And Ben Hogan said that he would be honoured to play with Charlie. And Charlie saw his opportunity. "Oh, would you like to play for money, Mr. Hogan?" "Oh, I can't play for money. It wouldn't be fair," said Mr. Hogan. He said, "I can't play for money. You know, what would people say?" "Oh, come on, Mr. Hogan. £1,000 per hole." "No, I can't," he said. "What would people think of me taking advantage of you, you know, under your circumstances?" "Chicken, Mr. Hogan." "Okay," blurted a frustrated Hogan. "But I'm going to play my best. I wouldn't expect anything else." And so then Hogan went on to say, "Okay, Mr. Boswell, you name the time and the place." And the very self-assured Boswell replied, 10 o'clock tonight. You see, the blind golfer's weakness was a strength, but only in the dark. Our weakness is strength, but only in the light of Christ. As we conclude our Olympic sermon series, it's appropriate with the Paralympics taking place to think about overcoming our difficulties. Just as these amazing athletes and sports people have been demonstrating such courage, determination, and belief. For many, they are turning what some would probably have called an impossible dream into a reality. It's taken much time, effort and dedication for them to reach their goal. The ultimate, I guess, taking part in the Olympic Games. I tell you, probably like most of you, I take my hat off to them. I think they're absolutely brilliant. You know, as Christians, we're not promised an easy ride, a life without pain or difficulties. And I guess that if that were the case, the majority, instead of the minority, would become Christians, and there'd be no point in faith, just a very persuasive and overriding fact of conversion. And although I know that Father God only wants the best for us, his children, he will sometimes leave us with thorns in our side, just as our reading tells us St. Paul had. There is no clear or conclusive evidence to that thorn that Paul speaks of. And over the centuries, various theologians have suggested such things as it may have been malaria, epilepsy, or a disease of the eyes. And one Roman historian even mentioned his nagging wife. As if wives would nag. Whatever it was chronic and a debilitating problem, which at times kept him from working and doing his ministry. And we can read about that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. Now this thorn was obviously a hindrance to his ministry, and he prayed for its removal. But God refused. Why? You know, surely God wants us to be effective in ministry. We know that Paul was a very self-assured and a self-sufficient person, even when he was a Jewish zealot before his dramatic conversion. He supplemented his income by being a tent maker. And for him, this thorn must have been so difficult. However, as my Life Application Bible points out, it kept him humble, reminding him of his need of a constant contact with God. And also benefited all those around him that saw, although he was having difficulties, God was at work in his life. Now it might be easy to make the mistake when we see the first part of our reading that Paul was perhaps putting himself on a pedestal. Because he was probably speaking of himself when he said he knows of a man. I'm fairly sure, like most theologians, that is what he's saying, that it was him that got that glimpse of heaven. He was entering into paradise. He was being privileged. But then he goes on to emphasise that he can only boast of God at work in his life. Sometimes I wonder if some church leaders, both past and present, need reminding of the power of humility over traits of arrogance, boastfulness and self-belief, which seem to abound in some Christian circles. How many of us have ever been struck by a thorn? You know, in our garden we have a massive shrub which looks very nice for a month or so in the summer with all its little flowers out. And in the winter it looks even more beautiful and attractive with its bright red berries in abundant measure. But sometimes it gets a bit out of hand. And every time that I try to prune it, my skin is pierced by its thorns. But every so often, not that Maggie nags me, but I have to throw caution to the wind and attack it with a vengeance before it takes over the whole of the garden. And whatever gloves I buy from B&Q or Woolworths, the thorns still manage to penetrate the so-called wonderful protective garden gloves. Sometimes thorns or splinters can get caught under your skin and it can cause much irritation and sometimes even infection. And I think by look on Maggie's face, she gets some sort of sadistic pleasure when I ask her to get such a foreign body out with a needle and tweezers. You know, I'm sure some of you can relate to that experience of thorns and splinters. And did you know that people can also be a thorn? Have you ever said that so-and-so is a thorn in my side? Or perhaps somewhere even ruder? Why do we say this about people? We say this about some people because they irritate us. That we may even feel threatened by them. You know, these people may criticise us, talk about us, make life difficult for us, cause problems for us. They may even try to disgrace us in some manner. In other words, they make our lives miserable, exasperating, infuriating, maddening, annoying, and we don't like it. We all have thorns in our lives. Throughout history, many people have faced the thorns but turned them into roses. Thorns can be a form of sickness such as cancer, leukemia, diabetes, heart attacks or strokes. We can have thorns that incapacitate us, you know, loss of limbs. We can have a thorn of blindness or deafness, a thorn of paralysis, paraplegia or quadriplegia. As did that poor man that's recently been in the news, Tony Nicholinson. You know, he's a declared atheist who died a few weeks ago. Only days I've been told that the court would not allow anybody to assist him to end his life. Now, I don't judge or condemn his attitude. After all, in reality, how would I feel if I was in the same situation as him? But what I want to do is to compare him to American Joni Erickson Tada. As a teenager, Joni enjoyed riding horses, hiking, tennis and swimming. And in July of 1967, she dived into the Chesapeake Bay after misjudging the shallowness of the water, and she suffered a broken neck and she became a quadriplegic, paralysed from the shoulders down. During the 2 years of rehabilitation, according to her autobiography, she experienced anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, and religious doubts. However, she learned to paint with a brush between her teeth, and she began selling her artwork. And to date, she's written over 40 books, recorded several musical albums, starred in an autobiographical movie about her life, and is an advocate for disabled people. She married her husband, Ken Tada, in 1982. In 2010, she announced that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. She emerged successfully from cancer surgery and is hopeful for positive prognosis. She funded Jody and Friends, an organisation for Christian ministry in the disabled community throughout the world. I guess that she trusted God in her life and with her life. A thorn can be a habit, such as drinking, gambling or drugs. It's a thorn to the individual addicted, but more often than not, it's even a bigger thorn to the ones that love the addict. I doubt if there's not a person here this morning who doesn't have a thorn of some description in their side. The good news is that God has the power to remove any thorn, anything that will hinder our relationship with him or other people, or may prevent us from doing the ministry that he has given. But he will only remove it if it's in line with his own will and purpose for us. And don't forget, even if you're not called to be a minister, we are all, as Christians, called to minister. There is a difference. Our Christian journey will not always be a bed of roses. Just remember the journey that Christ himself took on the cross. including a crown of thorns that pierced his head, so that all that believed and trusted in him would be saved. David Livingstone went to the darkest Africa as a lone missionary. And after some time, his missions committee wrote to him saying, "Some people would like to join you. What's the easiest road to get where you are?" He replied, "If they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay in England. I want people who will come even if there's no road at all." You see, sometimes the pathway of the Christian life appears to change from a smooth surface road to a stony track, and occasionally it may even peter out completely. For us, there'll be moments of doubts, fears and frustrations as God seems not to answer our prayer requests, to take the thorn from our side. May we, whatever life throws at us, be ever mindful that God's grace is sufficient for us, for power is made perfect in weakness. And remember, just like my shrub, sometimes God needs to cut us down to size. The disciple can never be bigger than the master. It may be painful, but we need less of us and more of God's power in our lives. When Paul reminds us that God's grace is sufficient, he's not saying just lay back and accept your lot. That's not what it means. Just as the Paralympic athletes, we need to show a commitment and dedication as we race towards the finishing line and take our place on the podium in heaven. You know, it seems to me, as I read that passage and studied it this week, Paul, having received that preview, you know, that glimpse of heaven, it spurred him on. You know, because he became so enthusiastic and committed, didn't he, in spreading the gospel. Even when faced with not just a thorn in his side, but snake bites, shipwrecking, being jailed and flogged many, many times. But he went on to be the greatest evangelist we have ever known. And we owe a lot to St. Paul for spreading the good news, the gospel of Jesus. I want to close with the story of Fanny Crosby. Blinded as a young child by a wrong prescription given by a doctor, but in her 90 years of darkness, she penned some 8,000 hymns, including the one we started off with this morning, "Blessed Assurance." When asked at the end of her life what one prayer she would ask God if she knew it would be answered, whilst everyone expected to say, to be able to see, she said this: "I would pray that I might stay blind for the rest of my life, so that the first face that I would ever remember seeing would be the face of my Lord and Saviour." I find that amazing. And I pray that you and I will find the strength of God when we are weak, and we claim the wonderful promise that is given in Revelation 2, verse 7, which says, "To all who overcome, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessed assurance that you will be there in times of difficulty and need. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to be humble and to accept the decisions that you make for each and every one of us. And Lord, if there's any of us here this morning that are struggling with that thorn in the side, Lord, may they come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, they may not have to ask at least three times for it to be removed. And Lord, you may not even remove it, but Lord, I'm sure there are many thorns that you want to take out, because you want the best for us, your children. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.